The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And welcome into Friday. The weekend has arrived, and thanks so much for being a part of the program. We will head to Tuscaloosa in just a moment. Nate Oates spoke about an hour and a half ago. We'll have the latest on that, but there is some news from the SEC. Ole Miss has fired men's basketball coach Kermit Davis. That announcement came this morning. He got off to a good start going to the tournament in year one. It's been downhill ever since for the very likable Kermit Davis. Always enjoyed seeing him when we drop into Oxford, but he is gone and an interim coach the rest of the way. How about this from the ACC? The Florida AD at a board meeting said something has to change with the ACC for the Noles to win big. There is a lot of frustration with the ACC and the grant of rights deal and their television deals. There's all kinds of speculation down the road about FSU and other schools. We'll get into that later in the program. But we begin with the story we've been following all week long. This is a headline from Pat Forty: the rest of Alabama's season seemingly fraught with issues. And Coley Harvey has been covering the story all week long. We talked to him the other day in Columbia. Coley, thanks for joining us from Tuscaloosa. I understand you were at the Oates presser earlier this afternoon. Good afternoon. Tell us what's going on there.
Yeah, good afternoon, Paul. We are here in Tuscaloosa, and just a little bit ago, Alabama head coach Nate Oates did address the media heading into tomorrow's game against Arkansas. That is right here inside Coleman Coliseum, and the big news that came out of that was that he feels as if the pulse of his team right now, despite everything that it has been dealing with this entire past month, going all the way back to January 15th, when 23-year-old Jamia Harris was shot and killed in that incident involving Darius Miles, the now former Tide player, as well as his acquaintance Michael Davis. Just going back to that, this is a team that even with all of that happening, the pulse still around them is good, according to Nate Oates. Here's a little bit more of what he had to say as they get ready for this game.
The whole team understands how tragic and serious the situation that we're dealing with is since day one, really, that first meeting we had that first Sunday. I think they're doing a great job just understanding that we're still focused on the task at hand while still understanding how tragic and serious the situation is. But, you know, I think they're pretty good. And people asked about our play Wednesday night. We didn't play our best game, but it's hard for me to know exactly. I feel like the pulse of the team is pretty good, though, to be honest with you. So if today's practice any indication, energy was good and our guys were doing a great job doing what we're asking them to do to prepare for Arkansas. We've been taking it very seriously from day one. I mean, the first minute I got the information, I called Greg and we've talked about it and we've known the severity of it. But, you know, Greg, I thought, did a great job addressing those comments on Wednesday. And I don't really have much else to add to it. We feel like we've done the right thing in this case, you know. So I'm going to leave it at that with Greg's comments that he addressed.
Now, Paul, that last part that you just heard there where Oates was talking about the conversation he had with AD Greg Byrne, that was in reference to a question that I actually had to him about Brandon Miller, the freshman forward, and the connection that was raised during Tuesday's preliminary hearing, the connection that Brandon Miller apparently had to this incident on January 15th. And, you know, just the talking with people around Alabama, also people around Brandon Miller, there was some shock and surprise that his name was linked to this in that hearing, because everything that they've been told to this point is that he's not criminally charged. The evidence has shown that he had no culpability in the incident itself, to their knowledge. And so there was some genuine concern that he was outlined in that statement. That's where his name, of course, became public in connection possibly to this. That all being said, because there have been no criminal charges against Miller, the university has had these conversations within themselves. Greg Byrne has talked to Nate Oates. He's also talked to the school president as well as legal counsel here, and they have come to that understanding that that they should continue to play Brandon Miller as well as Jaden Bradley, who was also outlined in that testimony from a police officer on Tuesday.
Coley, we were watching the press conference up here while you were there. Something that surprised me, and I want to ask you about that. I realize Nate Oates works for Greg Byrne, but it was the feeling of a lot of people with whom we've spoken to that Greg Byrne confused the issue dramatically on I guess it was Tuesday or Wednesday with his interview with Reese, because Nate Oates had said that he was aware of a lot of this early on. Greg Byrne acted like all this just fell out of the tree, and he seemingly, according to some people with whom we've spoken, threw Nate Oates under the bus. I realize I've given you a lot to unpack there, but can you help us understand that praise of Greg Byrne there when a lot of people saw it completely differently?
Yeah, well, from my understanding here in the last couple of days, it appears as if, Nate Oates was unaware of what was going on in the moment on Tuesday when he had that news conference where he kind of said some things that people really did not take well. He essentially said Brandon Miller was in, quote, the wrong place at the wrong time, and didn't really seem to be deferring to the loss that took place that night with Jamia Harris's family. That being said, he did not really get the forewarning of what was going on in the hearing at that time. The hearing was actually still live playing out across town at the moment that Nate Oates was speaking. And so that's where some of that maybe perhaps the perception of Byrne throwing him under the bus the next day, maybe that's where that came from, because Oates did not have quite all the information at that time. So that's why he did say, hey, we did know from the beginning that there may have been a connection with Brandon Miller being present, I should say, at that particular event. But there is no there doesn't appear to be any concern between those two, Nate Oates and Greg Byrne. They appear to be trying to get on the same page. Now, I can say that the other night after the game there in Columbia, Byrne was present. I was not here Tuesday, so I'm not quite sure if he was in the room when Coach Oates was speaking, but he was present Wednesday night after the game. And even today during that question, you just heard Oates' answer. He was essentially deferring to his athletic director, saying, I'm going to let his statement from Wednesday stand. So at this point, they appear to be trying to get on the same page.
Coley, I realize Byrne did that podcast, but has he made himself available to people like you and the local media to expound or explain some of his comments from the other day?
My understanding, at least for the local media standpoint, is that he has not necessarily done that at this stage. I will say I did speak to him just in passing during halftime, actually, of the game Wednesday night. And he told me that he felt it was important to speak on the podcast that day in order to give some balance to the story, because he felt the day before that his player was getting unfairly railroaded, in a sense that his name all of a sudden came out of the ether. And so to his knowledge, it did feel like it was kind of coming out of nowhere. To the details of what happened, I think that's where Byrne was a little bit blindsided, perhaps, from that testimony on Tuesday. But it does seem clear that the university was made aware, even the morning of that Sunday morning of January 15th, that two other players were present. But law enforcement's investigation from that point to now has cleared those two of any wrongdoing, and that's why they're still on this team and still playing.
Coley, thank you. Appreciate your coverage from Tuscaloosa. Coley Harvey joining us from the University of Alabama. We'll get your reaction to all of that. A lot more to do on our program as we have laid out here a busy, busy afternoon as we get set for a couple of hours of conversation. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Bratton from That SEC Podcast will join us next hour. A little bit later on, Ryan Phillips, who has been covering the situation in Tuscaloosa. And later on, Jeff Goodman on who could be next at Ole Miss. Some interesting names already being mentioned to replace Kermit. Let's get to the calls at 855-242-7285. And let's begin with Josh in Las Vegas. So, hello, Josh.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
We're doing well, thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to switch up the subject today because I'm kind of over this whole shooting. I want to talk about my grandfather. Seeing that it's Black History Month. He's 94 years old, great-grandfather. And it's kind of interesting because both my great-grandfathers both came from Arkansas and they migrated to California. And they ended up in the same town and they ended up working together. And their grandparents, or their grandkids, who are my parents, you know, had me and my brother. And cool story about my grandfather I wanted to tell about him and my other grandfather. The first start with my Black grandfather. He told me a story that really humbled me. He told me about how when he came to California, he had this pretty racist boss who, when they would, because they were foremen and they were working up in the mountains a lot, and this racist boss would not let the Black workers eat and party with them after hours, and he was kind of mean towards my grandfather. Well, 40 years later, or 20 years later, my grandfather bought himself a little ranch, and he was doing pretty well for himself, and he used to go to the grocery store to get some feed for his animals, and there comes this rugged-looking man, and it was that guy. And my grandfather, being the kind of man he is, saw him, acknowledged him, and offered him some food, and God blessed him, and I just took that as a lesson, is, you know, when you're evil in this world, you kind of get what you put out. And that was a good example of just my grandfather being a good man and doing the right thing. So that's always stayed with me. And then a quick story about my other grandfather. So him and my other great-grandmother, they were born in Arkansas and Alabama. I think it was Coleman. And when my mom got pregnant with my older brother, my grandma started crying because I'm pretty sure it's probably from what she saw growing up in Alabama when a white woman got pregnant by someone who was Black. And then my brother was born, and he was born with blue eyes and very fair skin, and everything seemed okay. And my grandfather walked up to my mom when my brother was little, and he said, you know what? I want another one, but can you make that one darker? And then, Paul, 9 months later, I came along, and sure enough, I'm way darker than my brother. I got brown eyes, and it was just a good story to see how, you know, two races where white and Black come together, and, you know, kind of just made my family stronger and made me realize that, you know, we have more in common than we think. And it's important to realize that, given the times that we're in, and people should just keep that in mind going forward.
Josh, thank you so much. What a pleasure to hear from you, and what an extraordinary story. Billy is up next in Philly. Billy, how are you? What's going on?
Good, Paul. I'm calling from out west at the Telluride, and you have plenty of fans out here. More than you do in Philadelphia, actually. I called to ask about your book, because a year ago you talked about writing a book, and this is what's crossed my mind. Almost nothing that was important then is important now. In those days, it was Texas A&M and NIL. We've kind of worked through that. Since then, we've had Georgia versus Nick Saban, and what's going on in Alabama, and will Georgia do a three-peat, and blah, blah, blah. But that's an interesting, important story. You had the death of a beloved coach. Your show provided a place of mourning for the community of the SEC that loved and cared for the people in the SEC. In addition, your show has changed since it from last year. You're getting better callers. Josh, the guy you just had on, is amazing, but you've had so many amazing callers. This has become a central rallying place for a whole lot of people that I kind of like. The accelerated Oklahoma and Texas merger is very important for SEC and college sports generally. They're shaking everything up. That's happened since you announced this book. And finally, you've got this Alabama issue, mm-hmm. which goes beyond the team, obviously. And the publicity is now raising the question, what is the college experience? The kids own guns? Are the parties too severe? What the hell is going on down there? Now, all these are real issues, and the best place to know about them is your show. And I'm curious what you're going to do about a book, which is, you know, your show rolls on, but a book you published, that's it, man. Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, Bill, it's a great question, and it's you've read my mind very accurately, and I have had to rethink the whole thing. I think that's an understatement, and that continues. That process continues right now. And
where are you? What are you inclined toward now?
I don't know, and I don't mean to be evasive, because what you laid out that seemed breathtakingly important 10 months ago is not important to me at all. And quite frankly, it wasn't important to me much long after it happened. I've had a lot of walks in the woods and deep analysis to try to figure out what I want to do.
I think America is changing, and I think you may not be aware how important you are in this change that's going on in America. Because you're not the mainstream media doesn't know you exist, really. Maybe
that was something that came to me about a specific topic. But I frankly agree with you, and I try to say this. But I am intrigued with where this show takes all of us, and I say that as somebody who comes in here every day. But I'm more curious about what happens the next day than I've ever been before. So.
I'm sure.
I really pray. You've laid out one day off the air, I'll give you a little more in-depth analysis of what I've been through on this, but I've been through quite a bit on the subject.
I'll bet you have, and I'm not going to pretend to have a smart insight into the Alabama event at the moment, but I'm telling you, the world is saying, what the hell is college all about?
Yeah,
right now?
No, it's you are one. Enjoy Telluride. Are you? How long are you out there for an extended period or what?
No, I'm just a week. I'm going home. There's a guy named Robbie who's an Alabama guy who runs the best bar food joint in the town, right at the foot of this hill, and he wears a little red Alabama hat. And I go there every day for lunch and meet a bunch of crackers that like Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi football. Talk about that with them, and you know, my wife and daughter ski. I don't ski because I'm too old. I can't afford to fall down anymore.
I hear you. Hey, Billy.
You're at a certain age, Paul. You don't want to go to the hospital.
I understand. Hey, thank you. I look forward to carrying on this conversation again. Amanda is in Arkansas.
Yes,
hello,
sir.
Amanda.
Hello, Paul.
Hi there.
Hi.
How are you doing, Amanda? What would you like to talk about?
I have the Brandon Miller issue on my mind.
Okay.
I am highly disturbed at the lack of accountability by the University of Alabama and the athletic department with Miller and what happened. Why did they not put him on the bench while the investigation was ongoing? If it didn't take very long, what would he have been out? A game? Maybe two?
Amanda, I've had a lot of people tell me that you're right. First of all, I couldn't agree more with you. I think the University of Alabama athletic department, and that's under the athletic director. That's not the basketball coach. He's a basketball coach. That's what he does. He's not there to make administrative decisions. Completely dropped the ball. You heard Nate Oates say today. He told Greg Byrne about this right away, immediately. And at that moment, they cannot. I mean, one reason I don't think we've heard from Greg Byrne in a Q&A situation is that I don't think he wants to have to answer that question. And the question is, at the moment that you understood that two other players, other than the one you just kicked out of school because he's in jail, which means absolutely nothing, were involved, why didn't you immediately suspend them and conduct an investigation as best you could? I mean, I'm not saying he could. He would have nothing to do with the law part of it. But he could easily talk to the players. And once he became aware of the player's role, which we all know about now, then why did he feel comfortable either allowing them to play or stopping them from playing at that point in time? It's an either or. There are no in-betweens.
They're letting these people go on with no consequences for bad decision making. You were just talking about this. You know, I loved your comment about stopping through for a cup of coffee on their way to the NBA, and that's exactly what they see it as.
Well, sure.
And they're treated like they can just do whatever they want with no consequences, including, they've proven that he didn't murder this woman. As to what role he played in her death, that's still...
No, Amanda, I agree. And I wonder if the reason why he doesn't want to talk about it is the fact that at the very moment that this happened on January 15th, he was in the process of pushing through a contract extension for the coach. So if it came out that three members of that basketball team at the beginning of the weekend were involved in this heinous crime, indirectly, directly, would it impede what many agree is Byrne's best decision as the athletic director at Alabama? That's hiring Nate Oates.
I think
quite frankly, it's he made things worse the other day with that interview he gave to Reese and Pete.
I look at it this way: by benching Miller and Bradley until the investigation cleared it, it would have done was made the university look good. It would have made them look like they had integrity in this woman's death. By doing the right thing, it would have given them.
And by the way, Amanda, here's the most important thing it would have given them. Let's say they missed the next game. The next game was Vanderbilt. Somebody would have to help me who the Saturday game was. So let's say they missed two games. Then they're reinstated. The problem is then the university has to acknowledge that they were involved, which clearly the university did not want to have to do.
No.
And that's a key question. But had they done that, it was over. Then they can. And by the way, they don't have to discuss it. Most of the time, universities do not discuss when a player is suspended. They say it's an internal issue. But
exactly.
they walked into it, and now this story is going to haunt them, perhaps as long as basketball is being played this year. And that's really what concerns a lot of people. And by the way, in addition, no one needs to keep saying that someone was lost here, because we know that, and that's the most important aspect of this case, that a young woman lost her life, and it's tragic and it's frightening to think about. But from the university standpoint, they could have already moved past it. Instead, they're still stuck in quicksand with no explanation. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
David is up next as we continue on a Friday afternoon. Hello, David. Hello, David. You there?
Hello.
Yeah, go right ahead. You are on the air.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today? I hope you're doing great, brother.
Thank you.
I just wanted to call. I got a couple of questions for you, and then a comment. If this weren't Alabama and one of the top teams in the country, would this story get all the news coverage that it's getting?
So you're basically saying if this had been at some small school, would it be getting a lot of coverage? The answer is no, of course not.
Okay. And I'm seeing this a whole lot more, especially in instances where it's someone who's out in the sports person, movie star, whatever. We used to live in a country where it was innocent to proven guilty, and now it seems like it's guilty until proven innocent.
Well, David, I understand what you're saying, but we're talking about somebody who's on the periphery of a capital crime, and that's he's not been charged, so the presumption of innocence really isn't necessarily germane to him. But you're right, we don't think like that anymore.
Right.
I'm not sure we ever did, by the way.
Right. And my last comment will be, everybody's talking about the university should have done this, the university should have done that. In any murder or any kind of crime investigation, if a policeman goes to a press conference and the media asks questions, then the response is, well, it's an ongoing investigation. We can't respond to that. How do we know that the authorities didn't tell the university to do that?
Well, we don't know any of that, and I don't think anybody's suggesting the university haven't talked about it. I think what we're suggesting is that the university would take action upon learning that two of its players were involved with another one. Miles here was on the team that weekend. We act like he has nothing to do with the team. I mean, Nate Oates had three on that Saturday morning, even though he was out for the season or injured, Nate Oates had three players that were involved in this event somehow, some way, either directly or indirectly. We weren't asking the university to make a public dissertation. We were simply asking, or what we're simply suggesting is that had they looked into it immediately. And usually when you look into something, you withhold the player until it's cleared up, then we would not be, I think, going down the road we're going down right now. They wouldn't have had to say anything. Nobody ever talks about something like this publicly, but there are ways of getting around that. Hey, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Dustin is in Tulsa. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. How are you today, brother?
Okay.
Well, listen, you seem like you've had kind of a rough week, so I'll change it up a little bit here. Actually, I need a little advice from you. Would you be willing to give me some advice from kind of your years of experience and whatnot?
Yeah, I think I'll give it my best shot, Dustin. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, as you know, I've been dating AJ's sister.
Dustin, you don't need to go any farther than that.
Well,
are you anywhere near the Tulsa airport right now?
Yeah, actually, I am kind of near the Tulsa airport.
I would go to it immediately and grab the first plane. Doesn't matter whether it's going to Laredo or L.A. and just get on it and never come back.
Well, I think that may be the route I end up going because, you know, I took her to Red Lobster again the other night because she loves those cheddar biscuits, and she just apparently she'd been listening to the show and she heard what I said about her brother, where I basically, you know, called him a disrespectful bum, and she pressed on me to apologize, and I wouldn't do it, and we got into an argument right there. She walked out right in the middle of the Admiral's feast. I've never seen her leave a popcorn shrimp on the plate, Paul, but she walked out right in the middle of it.
I can't believe that.
She won't
you know, I missed
calls.
The Red Lobster. What was your favorite thing at the Red Lobster, Randy?
I like the surf and turf.
Yeah. Those cheddar biscuits were good. I like the shrimp.
Yeah. So basically,
I like the way they remember the way they salted the baked potato too? Man, do I miss the Red Lobster.
Well, come on out, Paul. Okay. I'll take you instead of AJ.
I don't know where there is there a Red Lobster anywhere near here, Randy? Yeah, we don't have a Red Lobster.
Well, what I need is either you to help me get back in her good graces with maybe a gift certificate or something.
No, no.
Or, you know,
Dustin, how long have you been dating Mrs. AJ's sister?
Oh, a few weeks. It's not super.
Dustin,
you know,
let it go.
You don't know what it's like to be single out here, Paul. I mean, do Laura Rutledge or Alyssa Lane, do they have any sisters or anything? I mean, cousins, distant relations?
I don't know either one of them that well.
Paul, you've been a trooper this week, man, and I just wanted to try to add a little levity to it. I hope I did. You've done a hell of a good job with a really hard lineup of calls over and over and over, and it's been really informative, and I think you've done probably the best work on it. So
thank you very
much.
Hope
you guys have a great week.
You guys appreciate it. You take care of yourself. Mark is up next. So hello, Mark.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I wanted to bring something to the table that may be somewhat controversial. I hope you'll let me finish, but I've not heard anybody address this, and it's concerning the Alabama basketball situation. I've been season ticket holder for Alabama football, for basketball, for baseball. Got 2 degrees from the university, and it's just simply heartbreaking to see this right now. But let me say this. My question would be, why was a 23-year-old mother with a child of 5 years old out on the strip at 2 a.m.?
Mark, I'm going to answer your question very, very succinctly. Because she wanted to be.
Fine. And I've done
she
that
has
myself.
Every,
I think
questioning why a woman
I'm not
was
blaming
out,
her. Trust
well,
me,
that's,
I am
that's
not
the insinuation,
blaming her at all.
Though.
She has that right. And I have stumbled
out of
several bars at sunrise myself and put myself in vulnerable situations. But I want to just say to parents and grandparents and young people, don't put yourselves in those vulnerable situations. I've done it myself. I'm not blaming her.
Well, but listen, Mark. I don't know all the. I don't. We'll find out more when this case goes to trial. But there was another man she was with, apparently.
Right.
I think she. I'm going to be quiet here because I will stick my foot in my mouth even more than I've already done today. We'll take a short break. Back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back here on a Friday afternoon. Augie is up next.
Hey, Paul, before I forget, I just want to send best wishes to Jim. He still does not sound like the old Jim. And, you know, thoughts and prayers go out to Jim. Hopefully he's okay. But, Paul, did you see the Alex Jones column in Yard Barker?
No.
Alex Lang, not Alex Jones.
Okay,
Alex Lang.
I have not seen it, no.
Calling for a suspension of Alabama's basketball season. Now, I know that's one end of the spectrum. But did you listen or hear about McElroy's comments yesterday during his radio show?
I heard he called Nate Oates despicable.
Definitely not complimentary or showing pride in the administration of his alma mater. Do you think, Paul, that not that it hasn't or it from time to time does, but is college sports losing its moral compass?
I don't think it's a new story, Augie. I think this has been going on for a very long time.
I mean, we need an Andrea Gallo. Remember her and her investigation into Les Miles and what was going at LSU with that sexual harassment stuff? That seems to have
well. By the way,
Augie,
for anyone who don't think who doesn't think there's going to be more reporting on this story, they're foolish. This is not going to be a paint by number news story because of the gravity of what's happened and where Alabama is. If Alabama was 10-19 on the season, it wouldn't be getting any attention. But Alabama is about to enter an arena that it's never been before in terms of the prominence that it will have going into the NCAA tournament.
So, Paul, whether you like it or not, you're a talking head, figurehead for SEC sports. Just by the nature of your show and what you do every day, 20 hours a week, 20 hours a week. What is your opinion and what do you think should happen from this point forward? If you had to make the call, what would you say needs to be done, knowing the facts as you know them now?
Well, Augie, I'm of the opinion that really at this point nothing else can be done because the school has already said what it has said. So I'm not dodging what you asked me, but I think it's absurd to suddenly suspend somebody just for the sake of doing it to win you a couple of brownie points with the media when the time to act was at the beginning, not at the three-quarter poll.
At least you gave an answer, and I'm absolutely sure it was an honest answer, but I don't know.
Let me turn it around and ask you. You're a smart guy. What would you do right now, knowing what we know?
I think I would have to suspend the guy. I mean, the fact that he brought a gun.
Augie, no, you're going back on information they've already agreed upon that they don't find objectionable.
No, but I am giving you how I would have handled
it. I understand
that. At that point, I would have suspended him. I would say there is too much going on here that is contrary to good behavior, that we can't allow this guy to continue representing the University of Alabama. I still think there are things morally reprehensible about the fact that he brought the gun to the incident that happened. How soon after he delivered the gun did it happen? It didn't happen hours later, right? It didn't happen days later. It happened relatively quickly, right?
No, Augie, by the way, I completely agree with you that, and that's why I mentioned what I did earlier about the athletic director. I think if they had all gotten together on that first day and said, listen, we need to, first thing you always do is you suspend someone with pay, whatever the cliches that we hear in the workplace or in
editing. Right.
And then you take a deep breath, but why didn't they do that is the question. I'm sure they thought of it, because he certainly, it's hard to imagine that he didn't cross some line of a team rule by being in, I mean, I don't know what the team rules are, but and by the end of the week, they could have satisfied themselves. And at that point, they have done, I know some people will object to that. I think they've done the player a disservice by doing nothing, as opposed to by reacting and at least saying, we looked into it and we feel comfortable. They didn't do anything, and now they come out and say they feel comfortable.
Well,
anyway, we have to go. We still have a couple hours to go. We hope you'll stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.